data. But look on the ASA.
My gosh.
They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west.
The whole thing, dude.
That's not our LNS, though, is it?
It's not. That is the LNS, dude.
Well, if there's like...
Look at that thing!
It's rotating.
Greetings, friends. It's a bonus Chapo here for you today. In this episode, we will be delving into, once again, into the world of the unknown. And now is as good a time as ever to talk about the phenomenon of UFOs, unidentified flying objects. This is obviously, I wanted to do this episode because, believe it or not, UFOs have very much been in the news recently. You may have missed the small detail of the United States Navy confirming the veracity of a series of videos captured by Navy pilots that did seem to capture unidentified flying objects. The fact that the U.S. government is confirming that these things are real has quite a few implications, and I hope to suss out all of them with our guest. Returning again, you heard her recently discuss all of the Star Wars prequels to us, but Haley is a resident not just of made-up, make-believe aliens and the universes they inhabited, but our very own universe and the aliens that may or may not be inhabiting our solar system and planet at this very moment. Haley, how are you doing?
I don't want to go into that, but yeah, that's...
Okay.
I don't know how I'm doing.
Just the facts. Just the facts.
Yeah, I can't address that on like a factual basis.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for bringing me back to talk about real aliens, which actually is like, that was when I was a kid, I was terrified of like real aliens, like greys and stuff, but I loved Star Wars and my parents could not understand why one alien would be so popular and one other alien would be so unpopular with me. And maybe we'll get into like, what is the human revulsion to the gray and the real aliens of the world?
Well, I mean, yeah, I still don't know whether the gray is friend or foe, but maybe the answer is not so simpler.
It's pretty obvious when you look into its black eyes.
When you see your reflection in their black orb.
I haven't
eyes.
Had regression therapy yet, so I don't exactly know, but I've got an inkling.
Well, okay, so just a word of preface to begin this episode, because, you know, obviously we have on Chapo dipped our toe into a lot of conspiracy theories over the course of the show, and I think, I'm sort of at a place now where I half believe in all of them, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm a total believer. So, you know, I'm not here to debunk or prove the existence of intelligent life elsewhere in the galaxy or their intervention in human affairs. I'm just more interested in the story itself and some of the corroborating details about it that has just cropped up. So to begin, I'd like to start talking by this recent news story, and I'm just going to read here from The Guardian. Pentagon releases three UFO videos taken by U.S. Navy pilots. The Pentagon on Monday released three declassified videos that show U.S. Navy pilots encountering what appear to be unidentified flying objects. The grainy videos, which the Pentagon say depict unexplained aerial phenomena, were previously leaked, with some believing they show alien UFOs. The Pentagon said it released the footage to clear up any misconceptions by the public on whether or not the footage that has been circulating was real or whether or not there is more to the videos, a statement on the Department of Defense website said. So it's basically they're releasing the videos just to clear up any confusion. They're releasing the videos to be like, yes, the videos are real, and that should clear up any confusion about what they are, which it seems to ask, begs more.
Speak for themselves.
It's weird. They said they finally declassified them because they determined that they did not contain any sensitive information about, aircraft capabilities or secret technologies or shit like that. So they claimed it was essentially safe to not just like their videos are already released, but it was safe for them to confirm their authenticity.
Yeah.
So, and then they're just like, yeah, well, just to clear up any confusion about that. But it would seem to be like that, that by confirming their authenticity, they are opening the door to a lot more confusion.
Which so, I think is part of the intention.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, lot of people are pointing to that as a reason to completely dismiss this entire kind of story and topic out of hand, just because it's obviously like a CIA psyop, you know, like Chapo Trap House is, but...
I think it's very true. But yeah, like, especially when you're dealing with sort of, you know, big things like these, or like these big conspiracy things, it's always very hard to, when you get something that seems to be confirmation from official sources, you have to ask yourself, well, why are they being confirmed, and whether this is not some sort of limited hangout, or in confirming it, are they leading you down a path that they would prefer that you follow, rather than focus on, I don't know, the fact that they're going to give everyone's Jeffrey Epstein's cum in the COVID vaccine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, but
that's
Haley,
exactly
like, just
what they wanted to distract from.
Yeah. But like, Haley, just the videos themselves, like, I assume you've seen them, because you talk about like what's on them, like how they were first leaked, and like, you know, what you think is going on here. Because I mean, like what you can see, despite the videos being pretty grainy, are objects, you know, floating and then moving in the through the air in a way that defies what, you know, a normal human designed aircraft, or at least based on the technology that we're aware of, yeah, would be able to.
So there are three videos. They're named FLIR, Gimbal, and GoFast, which is just, I guess, what people in the community have been referring to them as.
Is GoFast a reference to the famous Star Trek The Next Generation alien species of the, like, submental aliens who didn't understand technology and just only wanted to, quote, go fast?
Star Trek is fash, so I haven't watched it.
Star Trek is not fash. Star Trek is utopian space communism.
No.
For the record,
if nerds who like Star Trek are listening to this, they should check out the British 70s series Blake 7, which is almost like a anti-Star Trek answer to it, in which like the which is about also the Space Federation, except in that version of it, the Space Federation like frames dissidents as pedophiles and puts them on trial for state crimes. Like, it's a good show to watch. Anyway, so I don't know about the GoFast reference, but so these videos, I think they first emerged in like 2017, as far as I can tell. This whole thing is quite confusing because we've been through this exact same news cycle at least twice, maybe three times already since 2017. So it's hard, like, these videos have been posted by the New York Times already, like, years ago. And so you've probably already seen them. And that creates a lot of confusion, I think, now, because I don't think people really know exactly what's going on with this. Basically, these videos were acquired. I remember, like, there was like a lot of talk in the UFO community and promises of like something big coming out. So like a lot of people in like the UFO circles worked behind the scenes to try and get this stuff released. They've been like issuing freedom of information requests, trying to get these like a verified release of these. They weren't able to get that, so they basically released them through unofficial channels. That's where like the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences comes in, which is the Tom DeLong thing. Hang on, there's something in the back room.
Hope it's not the creatures from above. This is another bit of like the crossover between UFO and Chapo lore is, of course, the involvement of the band Blink-182.
Yeah.
Or rather, I should say, a former member of the band Blink-182, that
yeah.
being
so
Tom DeLong.
So he is heavily involved in securing the release of these videos.
And has invested, like, tens of millions of dollars in this.
Yeah, so
well.
he has this thing
he's not fucking around, yeah.
To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, which is basically a research group that he has funded of scientists and, you know, like theoretical physicists, people who could genuinely investigate unexplained phenomena and have some inkling of what they're actually doing rather than the usual way it is handled, which is just like by people like me who are interested in these things but have no formal education in any of them. You know, that's usually who investigates UFOs. And so he's set up this group to actually try and get some professionals involved. And
one of the guys, or like the main guy he's partnered with, is a man named Harold E. Puthoff, who is like a Stanford-based engineer and parapsychologist.
Puthoff has been in the community for a long time. A lot of them are existing figures who are themselves weird guys. But there
and,
are
you know, he has a very non-crank. He has an interesting backstory. He has an interesting backstory himself because it's like you said, he's the type of person who has like a kind of stamp of a legit academic institution and some like scientific bona fides, but was heavily involved with the Church of Scientology and the phenomenon of remote viewing. He ran several experiments claiming to have basically documented the phenomenon, which have never been, of course, repeated.
Well,
he also was involved in verifying Uri Geller as having actual parapsychic abilities,
which is true.
he did the spoon thing. And,
they did those spoons.
Uri Geller stopped Jeremy Corbyn from becoming prime minister.
that is true.
We forget. Is Jeremy Corbyn the PM right now? No. It's because Uri, he put the psychic block there in time. But so yeah, like the Institute of the Stars.
And so basically it is a private research group, which is funded by DeLong, but also they have like a media arm where he writes in, quote marks, he writes books, which are then sold to fund their experiments. And basically they have like this fiction department, which creates books and comics and sells like TV pitches. Based on the paranormal research they're doing, they then create content to fund the research. So he's heavily involved in securing this release. And basically, these videos have been going around since 2017. We all knew that, like, the veracity of them, that they were from the Navy and they were actual Navy pilots and they weren't fake and so on. Like, it was all a matter of finally, like, securing that confirmation that, yes, this is, like, an official thing. This actually exists. You have to take it.
This is, haters cannot say it's Photoshop at this point.
Basically. So,
and wasn't one of the pilots themselves instrumental in advocating for the release of these videos?
I didn't see that. I'm mostly following, like, all these cranks who file Freedom of Information requests.
But, I would imagine in the UFO community, this is something that people have been waiting for a long time,
well,
right? This is the Pentagon and the U.S. government.
But like I was saying, like, these videos came out a while ago. You know, we've seen it. We've had time to adjust to this. And really, if we're talking about, like, the UFO community, the expectations of the community and what their view of reality is has moved so far beyond like what is in these videos that they're almost, it's cute. Like, yeah, the normies can get excited by it. But if you're in this, like,
this is old hat,
unless you're a crank, like, this is kind of old hat. Yeah. Because the things that you're seeing with your mind is so much more powerful and interesting than this. go ahead.
Let's stick to the videos themselves, though. So just like, if you haven't seen them, like, how would you describe what is on them? Like, what you actually see?
It's mostly just shit. It's mostly not that interesting. The first video, Fleur, is like a minute 16. Not much interesting. It's just like grainy. And this is the sad thing, is that with this confirmation of their veracity, we also got confirmation that the videos that are out are apparently it. Like, there is no higher quality copy of the video that is going to come out. Apparently they do not exist. This is the best you were ever going to get of these videos. So there's not a lot to go on, really. And that first video is, to me, it never was very interesting because it's like a white splotch on a black splotchy screen, and it's sort of shaking a bit, and There's not a lot to go on. I don't understand what any of, like, the markings on the screen mean. I can't tell what speed any of it is. Like, it's meaningless to me. The other two videos are interesting to me because you have the pilot commentary on the top. And that is, I think, what sort of adds some drama to it, is that you have these Navy pilots freaking out and in like a cool way. Like, they're just like, dude, this is some cool shit. There's a fleet of alien UFOs.
Did you box moving target?
No, I took an auto track.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Wow.
Like, they're just having a great time. And those ones are interesting.
They're doing they're in the cockpit of, like, you know, an F-18 Super Hornet doing the Sean McElwee holy shit, holy shit, holy shit routine.
They're doing the soy face all over these things. But, like, these ones are interesting because it actually provides you of some context. And what they're saying is, like, this, what the fuck is this? Like, this isn't, like, saying, is this us? And, like, this isn't us. Like, this is from, like, I'm not scientifically literate enough to really get into all that kind of side of things. But from what I was reading, the projected speed of the objects is about 22 times that of the F-18.
That's incredibly fast.
Yeah. And yeah. So, like, they're pretty certain they're watching these things in front of them and are pretty certain this isn't us. And then immediately, as soon as they start saying that, like, the object starts, like, turning in.
Yeah.
Like, it's stopped, kind of, and is just sort of rotating itself. It's just realigning itself in midair, which, as far as I know, planes don't do.
Or, like, and, you know, changing direction on a dime. And, like,
So these are also, like, if you notice, it's interesting, is the shape of the objects. The first two that came out were sort of nicknamed the Tic Tac videos because the object scene kind of looks like a Tic Tac. It's like a small kind of white pill-shaped thing. The other one that came out, it's more of like a, it looks like a UFO. You know, it looks like a classic, like,
the
UFO.
Classic disc-style
object.
It's
round.
Yeah.
It's a UFO. But again, like, it's hard to tell with these videos because the quality of them, like, I don't know. It's like a tiny blurry shape that really gives very little indication of whatever the fuck this thing is. So, like, that's hard to say. But yeah, like, so I think the thing with these videos is it's interesting, and what it really shows is it shows that people within the military broadly encounter this unexplained phenomena. They have no idea what it is either, and enough people don't know what it is that the military is happy enough to release videos of whatever it is and be like, yeah, it's not us. I don't know. Have a look.
And also crucially, at least if you take their admission at state value, they're sufficiently inexplainable that it would not represent a threat to their interests or national security, just to sort of put it out there.
They can't identify them as being U.S. property. Nothing in the video gives away anything, you know, that they had to protect about the pilots themselves and the planes they're flying. There's really no... The videos are already out there. Everyone, like, we already knew where they came from. It was just a matter of getting official confirmation. And there's nothing in them that really... These are not, like, smoking gun videos. These do not implicate the U.S. government in, like, a secret UFO cover-up or, you know, covert working with an alien species. Like, it's nothing, like... It's interesting, but there's really nothing beyond that to it. Unless you delve into, like, the deeper UFO lore, there's not much to it in itself, I don't think, other than... That it's weird. It's not normal.
They are showing objects moving in space in the air, in a way that is that much faster than anything that we had thought possible, and not behaving like any sort of aircraft heretofore encountered or explained.
Of course, the explanation
the Pentagon.
that I've seen a lot of people jump to is like, oh, obviously it's some sort of black project, like it's something. And the fact that they released the video, I think, should tell people that that's not the case, because if it was, they wouldn't have acknowledged it. Like, the military is very reticent to acknowledge any kind of black project. There are guys whose whole thing is just doing freedom information requests to basically get public acknowledgement of various black projects that the public already knows about. You know, there are, because we have camera technology, things only remain secret for so long. And so there are a lot of, you know, military airplanes and things that we know about well before there's any public acknowledgement of their existence and there's outright denial of their existence. And so if this was anything to do with one of those, I don't think they would have ever touched it. They'd just leave it as this thing on the internet.
If it was some generational leap in like stealth or aircraft technology, they wouldn't be like sharing that. That exists publicly with, like, you know, China, for instance.
And they wouldn't even necessarily, like, there wouldn't be a cover-up either to hold it. Like, you know, they would just let it be a thing on the internet that cranks care about and kooks, and that's about it. And you're pretty much, I think what this does represent is that there is a segment of people within these institutions who take this thing seriously. That is what, over the last few years, there's been a number, not just videos. The other thing is there's been a lot of disclosures coming from Navy pilots about interactions with UFOs. And in a lot of those things, what they're talking about is a frustration with the way the military handles these situations, which has usually just been to ignore it and to really not acknowledge the experiences of their personnel who have these encounters. And that has actually slowly changed, and now I believe they actually have a chain of command for reporting these incidents, which do happen every now and then. And there are people within the Navy who are concerned just on a pure safety and safety for their pilots, as well as, you know, a national security front of finding out what the fuck is going on, because they don't know.
Harry Reid, former Senate Majority Leader, was, you know, retweeting the news story about the declassification of these videos and being like, you know, finally, you know, we still have a lot more work to do on this issue, or like, I'm pleased with these, you know, even Hillary Clinton promised if she were elected president that, you know, she would open up the books on the U.S. government's files on things like UFOs. Trump has even said similar things. I mean,
well, Hillary, take that, you know, Hillary was like, she had Podesta talking about this stuff all the time.
Podesta's very into UFOs as well.
Podesta
is
a UFO guy. So is Bill. I mean, Bill is known to a lot of like the big figures in the UFO scene. All the grifters of the 90s know Bill Clinton. Like, all of those guys have given Bill Clinton their book. He's gone, oh, yeah, that's very nice.
So, like, they suspect he's sort of a fellow traveler?
Yeah, well, I mean, he is interested in this stuff, and he is... There are a few UFO guys who, you know, have had semi-regular contact with him just talking about UFO stuff and what's going on. It's something he maintains an interest in. And, yeah, I think UFO disclosure was... something like, I just like to imagine that Hillary is, you know, like, she's gone through who knows how many bodies, like, trying to get to the Democratic nomination, and this whole time, like, Bill and John Podesta are just talking about aliens and UFOs and how important it is that when she gets into power, she declassifies that. And she's just thinking about, you know, which DNC employee she can have got next, but...
She can have abducted next. But you mentioned earlier that, like, you know, by themselves, like, they don't really add up to a lot independent of whether or not you accept or are aware of a deeper UFO lore in, like, American, but, you know, broadly world culture, broadly speaking, as well.
I mean, like, so they're suggestive, but they don't say anything. I think is that
this is not the crown jewels of, like, you know, everything, like, you know, Fox Mulder had been working his whole career to make us aware of. But why don't we talk a little bit about, like, that deeper story? Because, like, you know, UFO mythology is, like, you know, sort of runs parallel to much of the history of America in like the post-World War II, Cold War, and now like 21st century era, where it's just like, you know, after World War I, America emerged as this like sort of one of two kind of like competing hegemonic global powers. And like a big part of that power struggle was technology involved with like the space race, aircraft technology, missiles, nuclear weapons, things like that. And it involved a huge amount of testing and development of these technologies on things like gigantic secret military bases. And that is also like where you get the beginnings of like, you know, Roswell, which is, I think, like the sort of the genesis story for like almost all like UFO mythology and conspiracy theory in our culture. So like, Haley, what can you tell me about like how, like the Roswell story, like how it began and like how it's sort of mutated over the years?
I think Roswell in itself is like, it's like the tourist trap of UFO lore, you know. It's fine, but it's not that interesting, I don't think. Like, it's also a trap because the people who become obsessed with Roswell lose their minds and become just very strange. Roswell,
the general story is that like they it was like a UFO crashed that the United States got in the New Mexico desert,
yeah,
or something, and like, and the U.S. military, like Air Force, like took possession of the craft
a lot of
and
stories,
its pilot.
But,
okay,
but basically, the thing about Roswell also to keep in mind is that Roswell in 1947 was not known to the public till much later. You know, it was not a overnight media sensation of an event that happened. You know, then it became popularized much later by investigators. You know, like, I don't think Roswell particularly matters other than being like, I guess, like kind of a inciting incident for the public's interest in the topic. But I think the events surrounding Roswell itself are not particularly interesting. Basically, is that there was some sort of crash, whether that is an alien flying saucer, or as has been claimed, like a Russian secret project. There was a book that came out a couple of years ago that claims that basically Roswell was a secret Russian aircraft that was downed, and that the bodies recovered were not aliens, but experimented upon human beings who had essentially been subject to genetic manipulation by Russia, which to me is as insane as aliens, but for a lot of people, it was like, oh, finally, someone is taking a serious look at this and has come up with an actual answer.
Addendum to that, like, what's fascinating to me about this is, like I said, that all of this is happening like concurrently with the development of like a massive like nuclear weapons industry, like the huge, vast proliferation of a military-industrial complex and arms race in both the United States and the Soviet Union that required like huge amounts of like state investment, all kinds of like secret bases and tests. And
yeah, I mean,
let's
like,
be honest, and like a huge like, you know, human toll of like the lives destroyed by these various programs, like even in just the development of them, that like on its face already seems like something sinister and alien.
Like the things that we already know just the U.S. government was up to in this period, in the post-war period and during the Cold War, there's a lot going on that was pretty rough. Like, you know, the U.S. was, like, secretly experimenting on black men into the 70s and, you know, doing, making them infertile and testing vaccines and shit. Like,
testing radio, like exploding like hundreds of nuclear bombs in the Nevada desert, like exposing U.S. soldiers to radioactive fallout.
Disclosing the risks. Without disclosing,
documenting the results of what it's like to experience radioactive fallout.
A verifiable paper record of like the sins of the U.S. empire, what it was doing in that period. So some of these things aren't unbelievable that secretly went on. And it's also we know some of these things happened. So with Roswell, the basic story is, there's some sort of crash. There's claims his body's uncovered. There are other claims that one of the bodies was found by farmers and subsequently buried in an unmarked grave. And UFO researchers have been out at Roswell trying to find this grave ever since.
doing some light grave robbing all over the desert.
Well, I mean, like, the solution with it would be just to dig up every single grave in the Roswell area and look for aliens, but they won't let you do that because it's there somewhere. I mean, it's like finding Loch Ness. You drain the lake. If we get rid of the water, you can't, you know. And that's what we should be doing, is just draining the ground to look for the bodies.
Well, it's just like I said, like, the even absent any like an alien explanation, like, all of the details of UFO lore, like they're already there, like the creation of like vast secret military bases and like networks of underground tunnels,
yeah,
and like experimental aircraft and like all that shit is like it's already there.
To look at the subject in the context of the time, because something that comes up a lot is nuclear energy. It's the use of nuclear energy and the explosion of nuclear weapons. Basically, a common hypothesis, and this is something that people who have encountered beings have claimed was told to them, was that basically the development of like atomic power, basically, from the moment that we split the atom, we basically started a process. And the explosions of the first nuclear bombs was like the signal to the outside galaxy that, hey, these people
open
are fucking
for business.
Around. Yeah, basically. Well, so the UFO lore extends well before 1947, but that 1947 point is like where the modern UFO story begins. And nuclear energy and nuclear weapons are like key in that. What you'll get is in a lot of the 1950s and 1960s contactee experiences, which is generally speaking like a pretty common story. Someone is out at night, they might be driving down the highway, they might find themselves for whatever reason an indigestion in their head to drive out to the middle of the desert. They're somewhere where there's no one else around. They have an experience where a being, you know, either their car will fail or a being will flag them down, or they'll wander out to the desert to meet a being. Usually they'll be dressed in like a blue or silver kind of reflective shiny jumpsuit. They'll look humanoid. They'll look human. There'll be something slightly off about them. They might look tall and lanky and kind of pallid, or they might look sort of Aryan, kind of blue eyes, you know, golden skin and hair. And usually what will happen is they'll be invited onto a craft and then they'll be shown basically a PSA video about the dangers of nuclear energy and told you personally have to stop this from happening, and they'll be let back on their way. That happened a lot in the 50s and 60s. And it's just one point of connection with like nuclear stuff and the UFOs. The other big one is the amount of reports of UFOs over nuclear power plants and over, like, I guess, is the ICBMs, they're the nuclear warheads.
Those are the intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Yeah, so over those silos as well, there's a lot of UFO reports. And this is what you'll hear a lot in the UFO community, and when I was dating a physicist and I'd tell him all the UFO stories, he'd get very angry because they don't match science, I guess. But according to UFO people, they will tell you that there's a lot of accounts of UFOs being seen over nuclear power stations and missile silos, and basically the UFOs turning them off, like turning off power to the entire facility, shutting them down. I have never found any actual like paperwork to suggest this happening, but you know, it's sort of an
anti-nuke agenda to some of these encounters.
But yeah, but if you just take the anecdotal stories at face value, what you get is this idea that aliens Aliens are like Greens Party voters in that they hate nuclear energy. They are chaining themselves up to the front of like the nuclear power station in New York State to try and stop it from being reopened.
Okay, well, which would, you know, putting on my conspiracy brain, you know, have a huge connection to the fossil fuel industry and the fact of what nuclear energy would put at this time, the development of it, you know, what would it mean to them in their future of, you know, the extractive coal and gas and oil industries, creating these UFO style encounters.
I find
to spread
it
their...
interesting because obviously there is like a huge anti-nuclear sentiment, especially from that like 60s kind of hippie generation. And unsurprisingly, the paranormal experiences of that generation all relate back to the dangers of nuclear energy. And it's something that you stop hearing into the, like the 80s is you just stop really hearing about that.
Yeah, like they are like do sort of like experiencer accounts in the 80s. Like how does the story shift or how does the agenda shift?
Yeah, so
like, reflect the age?
Yeah, there's basically I'd say like a few. It's like an Age of Empires, how like there's like very distinct ages and you just go from one to another. That's basically how it is with the UFO storyline. You know, you have this period in the 40s where it is purely like mechanical. It's nuts and bolts. You have the Roswell crash. You have Kenneth Arnold, who I think is a bigger story, who is the first, I believe he's like the first US pilot we know of to have reported and experienced seeing UFOs. I think he was a test pilot was the thing. And he reports encountering UFOs when he was flying a military test plane. I think he's the first like pilot we can identify who had a UFO experience. During the war, of course, pilots reported experiences with the Foo Fighters, which were basically this kind of slang name in the Air Force for unknown objects. Foo Fighters are kind of interesting in that those kind of deviate from the nuts and bolts things in that they were usually described basically like ball lightning, like sort of, you know, some sort of sphere of energy flying alongside the plane, kind of matching the speed, sort of at kind of cockpit. Basically, you look across your cockpit, you're flying over, you know, Dresden trying to bomb Nazi children, and you look over and there's like a big ball of sentient lightning just following you, keeping an eye on what you're doing. And so you have that period, and then you get into the 50s, and that's when things start getting weird, really weird, and that's when we get like the contactee experiences. We have people like Betty and Barney Hill, who are like the first major contactees, who, you know, like a lot of these people were like pulled off the side of the road. Some Venusians picked them up, told them about how they're integral to like saving the world from nuclear apocalypse, which obviously they did because it never happened. And then that's basically for the 50s is what's happening, is that everyday Americans are encountering very strange entities who tell them perplexing things about their importance and what they have to do personally to save the human race. And what the contactees usually end up doing is like starting a UFO club and not really doing anything about world peace. And then you get into, like, that goes on for a while. And then you get into, like, the Mothman period. Of course, things get really get more weird. You have John Keel, who was a huge researcher. He was the one that wrote the Mothman Chronicles and, you know, sort of created the popularity of that story. And he had a lot of experiences that were like these contactee experiences, but weirder. And that's basically where the Men in Black stuff starts happening, is he's having encounters with strange guys in black suits wearing, you know, driving Cadillacs, just turning up and having like nonsense conversations with him and then disappearing off into the night. That's a big period in the 70s. And then the 80s is like everything before the 80s is weird, but it's pretty lighthearted. It's like Star Wars Alien. It's like the Star Wars cantina, you know.
But you walk in there, it's a little weird, but you're like, hey, good vibes all around.
Get a drink. It's
pretty much.
Vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can hang out there. the '80s things start getting nasty. It's the video nasties period. It's getting dark. That's like the emergence of the gray.
And also like the ubiquity of like sort of sexually penetrative and like sort of medicalized experimentation as a trope of yeah. all of these experiences.
The
right?
sinister side of this really only becomes evident then. There are instances of sexual relations with aliens prior to like, you know, the whole anal probing wave, but they usually had it's usually an afterthought. You know, sexual assault wasn't taken so seriously in the 50s and 60s. You know, if you and your wife happen to be diddled by aliens, it's just not something you really mention in the report. It comes out much just, later.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just something that you cope with privately.
But, yeah.
But in the 80s,
keep that shit to yourself, yeah.
Is when, like, the sinister UFO wave happens. That's when, like, genetic experimentation, people basically being forced to have sex against their will in UFOs. That's when, like, the human hybrid stuff comes up. Basically, all the X-Files shit starts happening. And then into the 90s, it just goes on like that, and it gets more extreme. And then into the 2000s, we're at an interesting point where, like, the 2000s, I think, is kind of the end, is the end of that kind of activity.
Yeah.
It still happens.
Yeah, it really does seem like...
But
yeah.
It the amount of these stories happening is much less. Even in like most like UFO documentaries and stuff that I watch, most of the stuff they're investigating happened, you know, maybe stopped happening around 2012. Most of the stuff they're investigating are older stories and trying to investigate basically cold cases. At this point, there isn't a lot of really interesting like experiences going on, and there isn't the way you can look back and say there are these distinct waves of activity that happen a certain way, have a certain pattern to them, happen to a certain type of people in a certain way. You look at, you know, the 50s, you've got contactees, you've abductees in the 80s and 90s. There isn't like anything I can really point to for our current period for that. So we're in this weird point where, you know, I don't know what all of the stuff that we're talking about now is basically talking about old things that have already happened. And I don't know what exactly is happening now with the UFO. We're in this sort of unknown period. And I don't think, you know, it'll probably be like 10 years until people start getting their aggression therapy and finding out what happened to them when they were like a Zoomer.
Well, I mean, actually, like, so I was thinking like about these like sort of different waves of like how these stories sort of change as you work through the decades. And I just recently just started rewatching The X-Files, which is like one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. It still is one of my favorite shows. It's like my probably second or third full time fully through the whole thing again. And like, you know, in terms of pop culture, this
I'm
was probably
it
like
for the first time, because every other time I tried to watch it, as a kid, I was too terrified by it to keep watching it.
Yeah, and there's some pretty scary shit on that show.
The
but
scary
like,
stuff,
that
but
was...
also it is some fucking gruesome stuff. We just watched like the one with like the caveman hillbillies killing babies.
Oh, that one. Oh man, that one. Was it A Home? That
yeah.
episode. Oh man, that episode is still not shown on television. By the way, I think it only aired once on national TV on Fox. But anyway, so the X-Files is like probably one of the most exhaustive like pop cultural documents of this mythology that we're talking about. And of course, it was like Chris Carter and the showrunners always sold it as like being, you know, based on like real documented cases and facts and things like that. But I was just thinking about it because to me it's such a fascinating relic of the 90s, and as a show that like came on and like really tapped into the zeitgeist of that decade. And I think what accounts for it, in my opinion, is that like this is the era of like the end of history and America emerging out of the Cold War as like the uncontested like world superpower, that like, you know, the all the real conflicts of the past were over. The Soviet Union had collapsed. There really was now no alternative to like liberal democratic capitalist hegemony everywhere in the world. And I think there's a certain element of like the Soviet Union as like the major global rival being there, like sort of kept us honest in a way. And with the 90s and the X-Files, it was really like a narrative about how like in the absence of any like really big other externalized enemy, like we begin to realize like everything that the United States did to win the Cold War and like, you know, up until then, like all the darkness of that, and that really like all that like interest and kind of fear turns inward, and we begin to like look at ourselves in a way of like our own government as being alien and possessing these kind of like terrifying godlike powers and technology, and like, and then in the X-Files narrative, literally like collaborating with like an occupying force, essentially, that like they were collaborating with like the ongoing colonization of our planet by
I've been watching X-Files too, and if you want to like get an overview of the, you know, as like I think as people in this circle call it, like the phenomena, like the, just the overall overarching story, you could do a lot. You couldn't do worse than watching the X-Files, because it provides a very, the cases are fictional, but they are based off real existing cases. You know, whether or not the actual events in them happened, like people went out and interviewed witnesses and, you know, these things, the paper trail exists of these stories. And you get a good, you get a good overview of the different types of cases that happen. Like, we spend a lot of time in our X-Files watching me pausing it and explaining to my partner, like, what it's based on, and pulling out my UFO books and, like, showing them pictures
of the true X-Files. Yeah.
Like, we watched the Scully episode where she gets her implant taken out, and, you know, I've got the book right here of alien implants, and I can show you all the different pictures of how they look and how that all works. X-Files is, for the most part, like, also very accurate in terms of, like, just, like, they don't really add a lot that isn't in people's, like, experience reports. Other than there's one episode where, like, sometimes they portray ghosts in a very negative light, I find, a lot of the time. And it's like, no one's ever died because of a ghost. Like, ghosts don't murder people. So that's just one
thing. Yeah, it's like sharks. It's like shark attacks, you know?
Yeah, it happens a lot less than you'd think. But, X-Files, I think, is also really good because of that sense of mistrust it places in the government. Like, I see X-Files like, Chris Carter he's a dumb guy. He's incredibly dumb. Like,
yeah,
that's a given, but he's a dumb guy.
That's why the show works so brilliantly, though.
He still has the right instincts, though. He still knows, he might not know all the facts, but his instincts are more right than, like, most, like, woke liberal types. You know, he has a correct mistrust in the government, in the official narrative of any story about U.S. history and its self-image.
And yeah, absolutely.
Also, I think what actually really, there's an episode we watched recently where it's the one where there's like this guy who can magically heal people. There's a few episodes like that, but in this one, he can magically heal people because he's like an alien human and he has these special powers. And the smoking man has him in prison, and they have like this ongoing argument between each other. And as a whole, that I thought was really interesting because most of the time you see the smoking man as like this figure who seems to be in control of everything. And as the series goes on, you realize he's just a player in this game, and he's actually in control of very little. He's answering to like the consortium.
Yeah. He's a middle management kind of guy.
He's trying to stay like on the wheel. But to the outside, you look at it and you're like, oh, he's like controlling everything. He's sitting there mysteriously. You imagine all this stuff onto him, and that's what Mulder does. And then they have this discussion, and I think it's like the alien guy is saying, like, you know, you want to be one of the commandants when the new order comes. And it's like, I thought that was like a good insight into power, because I think we tend to overestimate the competence of those in power and the like what they know. And so I think that was a good presentation, because it's like, actually they know only slightly more than you do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're scrambling to maintain power and to prevent that image from you know, that insecurity from being publicly known.
And like, you know, but I think both in like, you think you're right, like in a fictional and then like in a, you know, a more like realistic, like if analysis of like the people who are actually in power in our government, I think is like a good kind of heuristic to view these things with.
Yeah, I'd say like the X-Files presents like the, and this is what I think matters about this whole thing, is the particulars don't matter. Like the facts don't matter at all. Facts rarely matter. It's like the overall story that matters and the intention and what it's kind of the insight it has. And the insight is that power is that those in power are deeply insecure and will do whatever they can to maintain what little they have. And in the X-Files universe, it means collaborating with this kind of alien force. And to me, like, it's not that different from like fossil fuel companies knowing about the impacts of climate change, keeping it secret and just like making their offshore oil rigs taller to withstand climate change. Like, it's the same kind of thing. Is it just all the millionaires who will like flee to New Zealand or whatever? Like, it's just, they have no control over these events either. They just have the means to try and survive them and come out in a better position on top of you when they start to unfold. And that's like, basically this is sort of what we're dealing with currently. Like, you know, even without aliens.
And yeah, exactly. Like, this is what I'm, what I'm fascinated by in this is that if you like overlay the UFO narrative and like sort of UFO mythology, starting with Roswell's like the present, like if you overlay it over like US history and like the Cold War and like the post-war era, no matter how you tell both stories, like the shape of them is essentially the same. And like you talk about like the, you know, how in, you know, the beginnings of this lore, like it was very tied to nuclear energy and like nuclear testing and nuclear weapons, where it's just like that. The first time we split the atom was like the starting gun. And it was like a signal, like somewhere in like this universe or like other dimensions, that like we had opened something that had never been done before, that like, you know, changed everything. It let something into our reality. And, you know, that was, of course, also dramatized in the Twin Peaks: The Return. In the, you know, famous episode 8, the Trinity test site episode. Did you watch that, Haley?
No, I didn't. I've never seen Twin Peaks because the most obnoxious people in high school were into it, so I just refused to watch it.
Well, if you ever make it as far as The Return, in episode 8 is like sort of a foundational episode, because like it just stops kind of halfway through and then like restarts on like in black and white, where Lynch shows you the first detonation of an atomic weapon at the Trinity site. And like from there creates this kind of like bizarre kind of like threnody through which he essentially creates his own mythology about like how Bob and these other like sort of otherworldly figures and entities sort of entered our reality. It was like this epochal event, this savage violation of nature, which like tore the fabric of space-time itself and like let these evil or otherworldly forces in, like penetrate our reality.
I mean, that is basically
alien or otherwise. Yeah.
It is basically the story that you get in a lot of these cases, is either you have these like very hippy dippy aliens talking about how humans are going to destroy themselves and nuclear anything is dangerous and is just going to lead in the destruction of Earth. And they show you these videos of this, you know, they basically show you Threads, the 80s movie.
And, yeah. Very depressed. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. And, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And the other one you get is like entities who are talking about the damage that humans are doing to the, you know, like the
ecosystem, environments, or
it's
yeah.
not just the, well, I mean, you get the environment, but also like on a cosmic level, that like our meddling with atomic energy is basically causing like untold devastation on planes of existence we're not aware of. You know, that like basically other universes, you know, other dimensions, for lack of a better word, are experiencing the knock-on effects of human, you know, nuclear testing. Like every time we test a nuclear weapon, like 1,000 fairy machine elves, you know, were evaporated instantly.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing you get, which does fit into that whole, Lynchian thing.
Yeah, but like I said, like just using the X-Files as an example of like both the mythology it depicts, but also like how popular that show was in the 90s and like how what it actually tapped into like I said earlier, is I think this like this 90s paranoia of like America emerging like unrivaled of like our system of government and our way of life is like finally conclusively like that's it. We won. There's nothing else. There is nothing else for us to like look at really other than ourselves. And once we started looking at it, what we saw was like pretty sinister and horrifying. And like,
I guess
completely,
that's why you stopped looking at the X.
Yeah. And like, and the antithesis of like, of the official story of like that, you know, we were, we had to just start dominating the planet because of, you know, for freedom and democracy or things like that. And that, like, you know, it involves a huge amount of secrecy, of what we know now as matter of public record, like the use of human beings as guinea pigs for all sorts of like, you know, Nazi level experimentation on them. The creation
of mutants,
like
a lot of mutants in the X-Files. It's like that's something I shout at the television a lot. Is this, she's a mutant. She's another. Scully's found more mutants. This keeps happening. But it's true. Like America
in the show and in reality.
In reality, like I don't know. It makes me think of things just like the lead in the water pipes all across America that causes like birth defects and means people have like less mental acuity as they develop because of lead poisoning, basically from childhood. Like, I mean, through even just inaction, the U.S. you know creates sewer mutants just as it does like deliberately in the X-Files. You know,
and you know, overlaying all of it is this kind of like godlike surveillance state of hugely like unchecked by democratic or other means like power that is like secret and vast and unaccountable, even if the people involved in it are not necessarily like these genius level puppet masters who are in control of everything.
They're not the masterminds is the thing. It's like, yeah, they're all middle managers and they don't even necessarily know who their manager is the other thing. Like either it is, I mean, in the X-Files universe, there's an answer. There's like an ultimate authority that is controlling these things at some point. There's, you know, always someone above in the food chain who is controlling things. I think in our reality, like, that doesn't exist. And, you know, like, it's just,
this is the thing about how like all conspiracy theories at some level like are kind of a coping mechanism because they all do posit that there is something or someone in control of everything.
Yeah.
Rather than the fact that it's just like a, you know, ongoing cascade of disaster.
The X-Files, I think, is a good presentation of this because it also like pretty firmly tells you, like, as much as Mulder is on the right track, it's obviously, it's not good for him to be on this track either. Like, he's, you know, he's like damaging himself and his like psyche by going into this like warfare with the deep state and trying the truth.
A sane better Mulder would have just shot his shot with Scully in like the first season. You know, they'd be happily together. He, you know, she would retire, maybe go into private medical practice. You know, he would be a lawyer or something.
He and her sister would still be alive.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe her dad and everyone else. But it presents, I think, quite well the dangers of conspiratorial thinking, and how off the track it will get you. And I think that's like the thing to come back to of all of this is, what I would say with all of this stuff is that the truth doesn't matter. Like, Mulder is obsessed with finding the truth, and you would never find the truth. It doesn't exist. Like, there's no, like, empirical, like, focal point of reality you can get to that will explain all the things in your life. That's never going to happen.
And even if you did, it wouldn't matter.
And if you think you found that, you're delusional. Like, it doesn't matter if it's, like, you know, some sort of religious thing, like, whatever your explanation is, it isn't an explanation. It's just something you tell yourself so you don't have to worry about these things. And someone like Mulder, you know, is someone who's gone too far down the rabbit hole and is driving themselves insane because they're getting obsessed over the tiny little details and the things that will confirm or, in you know, provide some more light on. It doesn't matter. All this stuff, I think, is just about creating. What is good to take from it is just like a general sense of distrust in government and media and any institution of power in any story you are told is just to be suspicious and like critical, and also be open to other people's experiences. And, you know, like Mulder, one of the great things about him is that he's like not feeling non-judgmental, and he takes people at their, he takes the victims at their word of what happened to them and works with that. You know, he doesn't assume, he doesn't bring in his own paradigm. This is like the way Scully does and tries to work on it only on her terms. He tries to work up on these cases in the terms of the victims. And like, that's like sense of empathy is something I think you can take. I think like the important thing in the X-Files is, yeah, just this is the general story, is that this general sense of distrust. And obviously people didn't learn that, because you roll out of that into like the post 9/11 period is just
furthest
remove from that X-Files mindset.
I was going to say, like, ultimately, like, coming out of the 90s, and like you said, why there hasn't been like the same, I don't know, resurgence or reportings of these incidents among people like in the 21st century is like, again, like after 9/11, like, guess what? Like, America, we now have like another united purpose and like another global level bad guy to obsess over. And I think that sort of did away with a lot of both the need to fill in these gaps in our own, like the way we look at the world and our own lives and the conduct of the country we live in, but also like obliterated like any like acceptance of like a public like skepticism or distrust
you
of the military
have
or government.
A justification. You have a reason for these things happening, and the reason is like terrorism and freedom. Like, you have an explanation. Like, these things are still happening. You know, all the bad things the government is doing, and I mean, like, we knew they were happening. It was not like, like, we knew Iraq war was bad. We knew that these people were just being tortured and innocent people were being blown apart just for no reason. And, you know, things like Abu Ghraib, like, we knew all of these horrible things were still happening, but we did elite. But now we had a way to kind of to compartmentalize it and reason it away, because, well, it's for national security, the terrorists, it's for defense, it's about protecting us, is that you actually have something like 9/11 provides you with like, well, we can't let that happen again. Like, it provides you with a thing to fear to allow you to be okay if these things happening, which I guess in the 90s, like, what were you fighting to protect? By, you know, you're ignoring these things to protect some national purpose was less important. Whereas I guess like the same way that like the liberals who are like doing the Believe Biden hashtag or whatever, like they have something to, they're aware of what's going on and what, you know, he's been doing, but they have something they want to protect.
But also they have something they want to protect. So there's stakes involved in terms of like the psychological barriers.
They have a reason not
create.
To. Yeah, not to think about it and to sort of switch off that critical aspect and just accept what's happening. And I guess like we have too much purpose. We have too much at stake.
I guess to get into like the like absolute present moment, like the I guess the interesting thing now is that like, you know, now 20 years gone into like the war on terror, like I would contend that like the war on terrorism like stopped really being like something of real like emotional or like immediate like purpose or valence in American life, like as soon as Obama became president, it all just kind of faded into the background and like no one was really like concerned about it anymore. It was just essentially taken care of. It was going on in the background. And like now, like for the most part, like people don't really give a shit about terrorism anymore. Like, I mean, I guess they do in the abstract or if you ask them in a poll, but it's like not an immediate
concern that like, terrorism and what they associate that fear with has changed. Like, it's sort of merged into like this, like the Blue Lives Matter thing is like an extension of like the war on terror mindset to me.
Yeah, it's just like it's the same thing as like the X-Files in the 90s. It's just sort of be turning inward once again, and like where like your real source of fear is like your neighbors or like yourself. It's like it's in this country. It's like it's already the call is coming from inside the house.
I will say the Obama period was a pretty good time for like conspiracy culture. Like that's when I was like growing up and got into all of this stuff super heavy. And I was an above top secret every day was like the Obama period. And it was like, you talk about on Chapel a lot, you guys talk about like that kind of, you know, liberal safety, not to think about things during Obama, like, you know, like the protest signs, like saying, you know, if Hillary was president, we'd be at lunch right now. And like the Obama presidency, it kind of gave you a chance to like not have to worry about like all these war crimes and things happening.
Yeah.
Because someone like an adult, someone sensible and well-spoken and smart was in charge.
The guy when you saw on TV, you were like reassured by, you were like, oh, he's like me, you know?
And so it gave, I guess it gave people the chance to play in their little mind palaces. And we got some great conspiracies in that period. And also it set, you know, the right wing into such a fever pitch that they just came up with some great ideas and content.
yeah, absolutely.
Some of the best stuff happened. I mean, thankfully, with QAnon, like, we've now got, like, a new version of that. But, like, FEMA camps and the death panels, like, all of that stuff was, you know, it was a lot of fun. Like
Operation Jade Helm.
Oh, Jade Helm, yeah.
And again, like, and also, like, and these are like all overlaid on already existing like conspiracy tropes and little like ticks. Like one of my favorite things about like Jade Helm was that every Walmart in the country was connected through a network of underground tunnels.
Which is true.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, those underground tunnels exist. I don't know if they connect every Walmart, but like, again, those underground tunnels were created at exactly the same time that like the sort of Cold War nuclear security state was as well. Like they all exist for some purpose.
Yeah, I think it's just
yeah, like and they're a huge part. Places. Oh yeah, but every like, major conspiracy at some point delves into the existence of an underground network of tunnels.
Well, and the other thing is the tunnels they exist. Like
they actually do exist. I don't know at what level or for what purpose.
Like, my city has a bunch of underground tunnels. Like we've got there's an underground tunnel that connects to. Like a private girls, like a fancy private girls school in like one of the nice suburbs. They have an underground tunnel that leads from like the principal's office. I can't remember where, I'm not exactly sure where it leads to, but there's a few. And I did like, for a while, I was tempted to try and do urban exploring and get into the tunnels. But after reading about the people, the only person I know who did go into the tunnels had to immediately be hospitalized after he came out because it was just like filled with sewer water and rats and tetanus. But yeah, these tunnels exist.
That just sounds like a sewer. That just sounds like a sewer.
I've been in the sewers as well. Like they're fine. But but you can get to the, if you want, I mean, like if you want to get into, if you want to find out the truth about the tunnels, if you go into a sewer network, they eventually do all connect to the underground tunnel systems in your city. So it is just an easy access point. New York has like has underground tunnels. You've got like,
oh my God, we got thousands of miles. Most of them are not even occupied. They're like, yeah, most of them are like
all
yeah.
of these. If you just dig anywhere in New York, from what I can tell, there's like a secret underground train station from like the 1920s that looks amazing. That's just been shut off and cemented over. There's like some sort of underground population of mole people, from what I understand, there like there's a lot going on.
Oh yeah, New York City is if you're into tunnels, New York City and Manhattan in particular is.
And of course, you know,
but,
like in LA, you've got all of those underground tunnels connecting all the pedophile preschools. Like,
yeah, and all the major Hollywood studios, I'm sure. But again, like it's like whether you believe it, whether like the underground tunnel network thing is like something that is. You believe 100% literally to be true.
And Elon Musk, like
trying to
build underground tunnels for the elites.
They carry one car at a time to deal with the horrible problem.
Yeah, it's their thing. It's like one car, one boot, one child to be sacrificed.
yeah, one elite and like 2 to 3 sex slaves in a regular
thing
Ford.
Is that like we in the age of Epstein, the biggest. The most extreme, I don't know, like I've looking at X-Files, there's a lot of episodes about like, you know, satanic pedophile stuff. And had I watched like X-Files before the Epstein stuff, I'd just be like, oh yeah, this is funny. It's just making fun of like right-wing conspiracies. And now it's like, oh shit, this is literally happening.
Yeah, but like I said, like the UFO stuff, like the Area 51, unidentified flying objects in general, but like, or the secret network of underground tunnels, like, again, to me, like, it's fascinating because whether you believe them to be like literally 100% true, like every, like the facts or details of it, or like trying to like make it all line up and work out, or even if you don't, what you get is essentially like a pretty good metaphor for, like I said, this like an underground, like, para network of like power, history and culture that is like literally and metaphorically underground and connects everything around you, even though you're not aware of it.
Yeah, you can,
like, that to me is, I think, what is resonant about the idea.
I'd agree. Like, I don't think you should. I think you should read the stories. The stories are interesting. People's eyewitness accounts, it's all interesting, but you can't get too caught up in that because it will drive you insane. You have to, like, it's like the Epstein thing. Like, you get Epstein brain. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's bad vibes. It will freak you out. You just have to know that, like, you just have to be able to look at this stuff and go, yeah, obviously that shit is happening. Like, you know, and it's also nothing, like, I can really do about it.
And, like, yeah, ultimately, like, nothing productive is going to come out of your efforts in this regard other than, like, you being aware of, like, an interesting story.
Unless you find a way to work the grift, like, unless you find a way to, you know, make your director YouTube documentary series and make a living off the Patreon supporting that, like, there's no real point unless, like, you do, like, you know, a Chapo grift on these things. I'd say the thing about all this stuff is it's a good lens to look at the world through, because I think if you take the gray pill, and you look at everything with this level of suspicion, I think it's a pretty good, like, way to look at the world, and you'll probably come out with, like, a better understanding of power and the role of government and how none of these things actually work for you than, like, the liberal mindset will give you. Like, you're much better off being fucking X-Files poisoned than West Wing poisoned.
Yes. I mean, I guess, like, just to get up to, like, our very, like, current moment, right? Pentagon confirming the authenticity of these UFO videos taken by, you know, Navy pilots. But, like, now we're living in this, like, also very bizarre, seemingly out of an X-Files episode, like, quarantine year zero, like, plague reality. And now, like, I see the sort of the UFO story being woven into that as well, particularly as an explanation for, like, why these videos and why now. And it's either they're giving you, like, a tidbit of something tantalizing to distract you from what they're really doing, which is, like, I don't know, keeping everyone indoors so that they 5G. Can prepare, like, the rollout of 5G, or, like, the culling of the global population, or putting Jeffrey Epstein's cum inside your body.
I don't know if you
saw
this video, but there's, like, these huge, like, Slenderman creatures of, like, cone heads that are walking around emanating 5G. I don't know if you saw that viral video. Like,
I have not seen that video.
Okay, well, look out for those. But, like, that's what's going on. We'll check out why they're giving us inside.
But, like, okay, like, that, like, the explanation I give you is that, like, oh, like, the government is doing what they always do, and that this is, like, the UFOs have always been a distraction that they've been in control of to either cover up for their experimental aircraft technology or abducting and experimenting on human subjects, right?
And
that, like, aliens is, like, that, yeah, sure, we know this happens. And that, like, UFOs are, like, a perfect pop cultural explanation for that, because you get people interested in investigating it and researching it, and that, like, you know, it's a distraction, essentially.
I've been
The
thing I've been thinking a lot about lately, because my brain is, like, shot, it's just fucked, it's just been stuck in my head as the idea of, like, false consciousness projects. And I'm realizing that basically everything is a false consciousness project. And, like, the UFO thing could be to an extent, but I would say, like, it is a less, you are on a less dangerous path getting caught up in UFOs than you are if you got caught up in, like, electoralism. Which is, like, as big, like, a false consciousness project to trap you within, like, this narrow, confined mindset of possibilities and the possibility of your actions. You know, something like electoralism is, like, you know, designed to constrain what you can do as a person and your ability to organize, because it keeps you within these very narrow boundaries that basically says, you know, you go vote and then you stop doing. You stop doing the thinking, except to donate to, like, Nancy Pelosi so she can buy, like, more ice cream from the Satanic Mill. And, you know, like, that is... And lots of people are very engaged in electoralism, and, you know, they're angrily... They're, like, right now, angrily, you know, putting posts on the Patreon page demanding to know why you were talking about fucking aliens and not Howie Hawkins. You know, like, those people are...
Who is an alien, by the way?
People invested in that. You know, the people who are, like, watching Matt's streams where he's, like, you know, delving into new forms of consciousness and demanding to know what he thinks of the Green Party. Like, those people are way more deranged than any UFO person, because the UFO people are at least concerned with finding some sort of truth and meaning in the universe. Whereas those people, I don't know what the fuck they want, what they expect. And so, yeah, like, people are trying to say that, like, the UFO thing, the Pentagon videos, any sort of delving into the UFO phenomenon is, like, basically, is that false consciousness project? Is this trap that the government wants you to fall into to look into this topic as a way to keep you from looking at what's important, which is... I don't know, the Supreme Court justice allocation or something. Like, that's the thing that drives me mad about all these people who have been dismissing this thing from, is that they're all just like, oh, the videos aren't even interesting. All they show is, like, superior advanced technology beyond the human capability. It's not very interesting. It's just, like, the government trying to, why do they, you know, Trump, yet another genius move by Trump to distract us from the, like, they think that Trump needs any help. You know, he's the president. He's been the president for, he's going to be the president forever. You know, this is, and there's nothing they can do to stop that. But it's like, yeah, you guys, like, the liberals have done such a bad job at doing anything to stop Trump that, like, he doesn't need to do UFO disclosure to help him. Like, so yeah, I don't know. It's just that, like, with all of this sort of dismissal of it, I just find infuriating, and I've been getting into a lot of fights with, like, leftists on Twitter because they want to say that this is, like, a psyop, that this is, like, a CIA op to protect Trump and to distract from the important issues like Howie Hawkins' nomination. And it's just not the case. Like, it's just, I mean, obviously, to say
it
that
could be, I don't know.
I mean, well, I mean, obviously they're using it, but that's what happens whenever a story comes out from the media, it's an op. I mean, like, it's a story. It's what they're doing is they're putting out a story. They have a reason for putting it out. They have a response they want to garner, whether that's just, like, clicks and engagement or creating some sort of, you know, fake controversy around a topic, trying to gin up anger for some political end. Like, every story in the media exists for a reason. And obviously, this is no different, but that goes for everything. Like, everything is a psyop, you know, it'd be like saying that, like, you know, the New York Times reporting on any other kind of issue is just a distraction from what you're thing is, and what it really is that you just want to talk about the thing that you're interested in, and any distraction from that is obviously sinister. But yeah,
and, you know, I think you can take some solace in this, is that, like, that's one way of looking at why these disclosures have just happened and why we're all stuck inside our fucking apartments losing our minds, atomized, you know, incapable of physically organizing or registering our discontent, unless you're angry that you can't get a haircut or whatever. The other thing I've heard is that all of this quarantine and the pandemic is just a cover to keep everyone indoors for when the actual alien invasion and colonization begins this month. So look forward to that, everybody.
Well,
we're neatly quarantined and ready for, I don't know,
there's
to be disposed of or put to work.
They decided to roll out 5G right now. Like, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the black vans like rolling out 5G. Although, shit, the X-Files episode, like I watched the other day, it was like about the, you know, implanting sinister signals in TV to turn people evil. So who knows? But yeah, look, I'd say is that people latching on to this being a distraction and stuff, it's to me very similar to like, it's basically like if you said, it's like the 9/11 truthers, you know. 9/11 was put to use for a political means as like justification for the war in Iraq and creating a war on terror and increasing the size of the national security state. Therefore, 9/11 must have been an op. Like, the fact that the US government used it to their own ends means they must have blown up the towers themselves instead of like power just taking advantage of a situation, you know.
And right.
And so, like, I think just because they might be taking advantage of UFO disclosure to distract from everything else going on in the government doesn't mean that UFO disclosure isn't real and that they... I mean, what's the argument that, like, these videos are, like, one is, like, from 2005, one is from 2012. Is the argument that the Trump government created fake UFOs, like, 10 years ago to... so that today there would be like a fake video to distract from Trump's latest scandal? Like,
yes, and it's the same reason Tara Reid started this plot back in like 1992 to unseat the chance of Biden becoming president in the year 2020.
Yeah, or why Chapo was created by the FSB and disrupted right. The Hillary Clinton campaign. Like, none of these
sure, they took advantage of it, but
none
they,
of these
you know,
explanations
didn't create it.
Make sense. It's just like... you know, Chapo wasn't created by the FSB, but the CIA just used it as, you know, a means to disrupt the Democratic nomination and make Trump president. That's pretty obvious. But, you know, doesn't mean they created Chapo. It just means that they invested in its creation.
It just means that, like, half of their Patreon accounts are created by some sort of shady government agency.
From what I understand, you guys are basically bankrupt because...
yeah, yes,
no one is supporting
true.
You on Patreon anymore because they've become aware of the Chapo to Fash pipeline.
Well, they should be aware of the it's like it's more of a secret tunnel system than a pipeline.
Honestly, like Gwen Snyder, I was thinking is like a good example of like getting too concerned with the facts over like the general reality of the situation of someone who has like a meaningful distrust of like, you know, institutions, I guess, and the media, and so has, like, you know, is rightfully suspicious of podcasts and shit. Like, yeah, there's probably, you know, there's, like, podcasts that could be used to create narratives and so on, but she's just become so obsessed with, like, the details and the facts and the little connections that you can make and all those little fiddly bits that she's completely lost sight of the overall picture and her latest thing where she like declared victory over Chapo for you like having 35 less patrons this month or something and has declared, you know, that she's for once and forever destroyed Chapo Trap House and ended the road of Fash Pipeline is not that different from like, you know, it's like when prophecy fails kind of stuff. It's like she's, you know, not that different from the cult leaders who have like realized, okay, this grift is kind of up. It's time to get everyone to drink the Kool-Aid and declare victory and say, well, now our mission is done. And, you know, I think that's she's evidence of the danger of becoming too obsessed with the details of the conspiracy rather than just like using it to sort of inoculate yourself and be like, okay, everything is clearly bullshit and I have to take it all with its level of suspicion. And that's what, you know, these conspiracies, that's helpful to take from them is to not trust anything too much and to always be critical and, you know, and try and understand how power works in all forms, you know, of any relationship with the government or just individuals, and to be aware of that dynamic.
I think that is a good place to wrap things up, and I will leave you of the two catchphrases from the X-Files, the truth is out there. Don't put too much stock in that. even if it is out there, it won't do you any good. It's the other one, trust no one, that you should hold closer to heart.
Unfortunately, because I am someone who reads all the alien stories, the one that like really stuck out to me is The Data's Set. They said that recently, and like that is unfortunately like that's true. I mean, on one level it's true because you know, if you read what like people like Nigel Kerner have uncovered about like the alien conspiracy, is that basically the mission is done, you know, from everything that, like I was saying earlier about how like there aren't as many kind of encounter reports and anything. The reason for that is that the alien greys have already accomplished their mission and all the work is kind of done. You know, so not having
the 5G network is in place. Yeah.
And if you want to, so, you know, on one level there's that. On the other level, you know, like kind of the data is set, like climate change, you know, we're pretty clear, like when we're in the narrow part of the tunnel and there's really no maneuvering at this point. And it's just about like trying to survive in a way that you'll be personally quite well off for yourself, you know, and in that sense, the data's set. So, I mean, there's no point to anything. So you may as well just read it. You may as well just read, you know, take this time to read up on alien lore, because it's also a good distraction because they're good stories.
They are good stories. I think we'll leave you on that very hopeful note. Haley, thank you very much for joining me and discussing UFOs. And I would love to talk to you again sometime about like your favorite UFO stories and bits of lore that are a bit less well known than Roswell, and maybe dive into Mothman and our sojourn through the X-Files. So
I didn't even mention my own UFO experiences, so like I'll leave that for a future interview.
Haley, once again, thank you for joining us. Cheers. Yeah. All right, bye everybody.
Guys, Jess and I were just outside laying on our like balcony and on the second floor with all the lights off, just stargazing. We have never done this in our entire relationship. Not outside, not in her house, never. She was like, this is gonna be cute. I freaking shit you not. What I thought was the North Star, which was the brightest star I could see in the sky, it was right next to the moon, it starts flashing. It starts flashing and like 40 dots, they all look like little mini stars, just start shooting out of it and falling in a perfect straight line across the sky. I tried to get a video, couldn't record shit, my phone wouldn't pick it up. What the hell is this? What just happened?